This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Milo's Pro Rewards members, go big during Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Buy more and save more with up to 20% off job site essentials like primed finger joint boards when you spend $3,000 or more. Plus, get up to 25% off PVC DWV pipes when you spend $250 or more. Shop Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid through 123. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi everyone, here is the intro music, but not the regular intro today, because, as you can probably tell from this episode's title, Chetty Chats is transitioning. You'll hear the new intro next week, but for now, let's just get into this week's episode. So today in this episode, I want to talk about how my life goals are changing, and how this shift in my life goal relates to the shift of this podcast, because I think the two shifts really intertwine nicely. So, as for my life goals, as you know, or as many of you have know, I have been really interested in psychology for a few years now, and as such, I decided to make this podcast related to psychology. And a large part of what drew me to psychology initially was how applicable it is to everyone and how apparent psychology is in everyone's lives. And that's why in the intro of Chetty Chats I said, and I believe psychology isn't just for therapists or researchers, it's for everyone. And I still believe psychology can be for everyone and as a whole is very multifaceted and can be very holistic. But I've come to realize the field of psychology may not be for me because I feel like it may not let me live out my multifaceted dreams and interests in the way I would ideally want to do, even though psychology as a whole can be multifaceted and holistic. I think the field may be limiting to me in many regards, and I'll get into that. And I say all this knowing I'm only 21 years old, and I might change my mind, I probably will, time and time again, about what I want to do and where I want to take my life, but this is where my mind is at right now, and I'm very excited to share it with you. And then so let me talk about why psychology, like the field of psychology, may not be for me. So, first, I believe that in my life, I definitely want to clinically practice. And I don't know if this means like being a psychotherapist or working in, like in a private practice or doing workshops or working in more public settings. But as of now, I do believe clinical work will be a part of what I end up doing. And maybe it'll just be for a fraction of my career. Maybe it will be up until I am 100 years old. Who knows? But I think it will be a part of my career nonetheless. And like regarding practicing clinically, going into psychology as in like pursuing more degrees in psychology can be limiting in some ways. For example, in the United States, where I just finished my undergrad degree, and I will be next year, you cannot practice clinically with a master's in psychology. Okay, so that, I think that's a little bit shocking to some people. But in Canada, where I'm from, you can practice clinically with a master's in psychology, but with some caveats. The first caveat is that it depends on the type of master's that you get. For example, you can practice with a clinical psych master's or a school psych master's or a counseling psych master's, but there are many more psych master's degrees that you cannot practice with. For example, social psych or developmental psych masters, you can't practice with those. So if you're really interested in developmental or social psych or whatever other kind of psych, and you want to get a master's in that realm, you'll not be able to practice. So that can be limiting if your primary interest is developmental or social psych, but from like a more clinical view. Like if, for example, if you like looking, you want to help people clinically, but through a developmental psych lens, and you want to, you can't get a master's in developmental psych if that's your primary interest. So that can be limiting. And there's a second, another important caveat is that you cannot practice clinically in a master's in psychology in all Canadian provinces. You can practice in Alberta and Saskatchewan and a few others with a master's in psych, but you cannot practice. If you start in those provinces, you can transfer your license over to another province like Ontario. But if you get like a master's in psych in Ontario, you cannot start and want to start practicing in Ontario, you can't do that. So that's another limiting thing about psych masters. So like given this information, getting a master's in psychology can be limiting if you want to practice. And so especially if I want to like stay in the States or live wherever I want in Canada, like it's limiting. And so if you are passionate about psych and want to practice, and if you may need to go beyond a master's and get a doctorate. And also if you want to research at all, you're going to need a doctorate. So there's a couple options you can get regarding doctorates in psych. You could get a PhD in psych or a PsyD, which is a doctorate in psychology. And these two doctoral degrees are different in some important ways. So a PhD in psych, like a doctor's in philosophy in psychology, is very research heavy. And as such, only some PhDs will let you practice, like similarly to the master's. So like clinical psych, counseling psych, school psych. If you get those PhDs, you will be able to practice. I mean, in all places, all countries, all provinces, all states. But that I'm aware of, then I'm pretty sure. In Canada, US, it depends because like actually, okay, this is not in my plan, but now I'm remembering someone when I was studying abroad in St. Andrews, someone got a clinical psych PhD in America and was not able to practice in the UK. But wherever you get your degree, like if you get a PhD in clinical psych in the States, you will be able to practice in the States. In Canada, you will be able to practice in Canada, but you may need it. There may be some rules about transferring your degrees. It's all very complicated. Anyway, let me continue. So, but I'm just saying, you can practice with those, with a certain amount of clinical psych PhDs. But not all of them. So again, if you're interested in, practicing from a developmental psych lens, you can't practice with a developmental psych PhD. Okay, so the other doctoral degree you can practice with is a PsyD, so a doctorate in psychology. And these doctoral degrees are very clinically based and will not prepare you well to do research. So if you want to go into academia, you're like not going to be prepared. You probably like you can't do it with a PsyD. So that's limiting for both degrees in various ways, and I'm interested in research. I would like to do research, so I would like to go beyond a master's and get a PhD. So then when I wanted to practice, I was looking at a clinical psych PhD, but clinical psych PhDs are extremely, extremely competitive to get into, and you need so much research experience before you can get accepted. So most people post undergrad. And they already do a lot of research in undergrad, but post-undergrad, even having a lot of research, they work for a few years as the rules are called different things depending on what organization or hospital or whatever you're working. It could be clinical research coordinator, clinical research assistant, but it's essentially the same thing. So a few months ago, when I was still interested in going into clinical psych, I applied for a bunch of these clinical entry-level research positions. And I did get some interviews, but during the interviews, as I was listening to the job descriptions, to be quite honest, I thought they were very boring and I would not like to do them. And this is, and I do love research. I have done quite a bit of research, and it's not that I don't like research or I thought these positions were boring because I would be just an assistant and I won't be able to do my own project, because I think most of the research that I've done has been my own projects. But it's not that, because I have been a research assistant in a social cognition lab for the past few years at Tufts, and I have worked on someone else's project. And I enjoy doing that. It's just like the clinical research positions. It's just so monotonous and like, just not for me. And it's still very important. We need those people. And I think whoever can do that and go on to get a clinical psych PhD is great. We need those, but it's just not for me. And then, so clinical psych, it just, no. Because I don't want to spend 2 or 3 years doing that kind of stuff. Anyway, also, the other degree, PsyD, you are allowed to practice, but you're not prepared to do research, as I said. So that's, I don't want to do that because I do want to research. So that's a limiting thing. So regarding all these different degrees in psychology, I felt limited. I felt limited by a clinical psych PhD because A, I didn't want the process of doing the clinical psych PhD, and also B, I have a lot of interests besides just clinical psych, which is an important thing to know. Clinical psych is very focused on the individual and an individual's mental illnesses, an individual's emotions and thinking processes, that kind of stuff. However, I'm also very interested in other kinds of psych that are more holistic. For example, social psych, which is how people behave in the context of other people, and developmental psych, which is how people develop. And I just would, if I were to do a clinical psych PhD, it would be I think it would be very individualistic, and not always, but that's definitely an important part of clinical psych that differentiates it from other types of psych. And I think I would feel limited by what I was studying because I wouldn't be able to fully like fulfill my other types of interests. Like, honestly, if I wanted to get a PhD in psych, I would want to do social or developmental, because that really interests me more than clinical and more than individual mental illnesses. But it just, I won't be able to practice. So I just felt very limited, and I felt limited by society, and I'm just like, what am I gonna do? So limited. And, And so, okay, that's another reason. So that's reason A, why I felt limited by psych, even though there was lots of A's and B's and C's inside that big reason A. But reason B, why I felt limited by psych, was because, also, I think this is like a problem with academia in general and not just specific to psych, but research takes a long time to be put into practice. For example, one 2023 study found that it takes an average of 17 years for research to be put into practice. And that is not just psychology, that is academia in general. I'll put the link to that study in the description. But so that's a little discouraging. And I know just because the system is flawed right now, that doesn't mean I should never go into it. I could be like, the change I want to see, but it's just hard. And I just don't want to be doing research that just goes, and the end goal is to sit in a journal, because nothing ever happens with it. And I know that's not the case for everything. I have seen research make real differences in real people's lives. That's amazing. But I've also seen research get published, and woohoo, that's the end. Sits in a journal, maybe 10 years later, something small happens with it, but woohoo, getting published is the end. And I want to make very clear that I think research for the sake of just knowing is important in of itself. For example, like in physics, string theory, Knowing string theory, researching string theory does not, as far as I know, I mean, maybe I don't know much about this, so maybe I'm wrong, but as far as I know, it doesn't help real people's lives. It doesn't do anything. It's just, you just know about it. And like, also like knowing about these like wild species of frogs, for example, they like knowing about it isn't going to help people's lives. It may not even help the frogs' lives. It's just knowing to know. And that's great. And knowledge is beautiful, wonderful. And I love it. And it's cool. But I think it's not just what I want to do. I don't want to know for just the sake of knowing, even though I think that's important. I don't want people to think that I'm dissing that. So knowing for the sake of knowing in physics and biology and psychology, anything is great, but not what I want to do. I want to really see the work that I'm doing help people like in my lifetime and not whenever else and not 17 years later. More immediate. And that's just me. So that was a little bit discouraging about psychology. Another thing that might be discouraging about psychology in academia is there is before I get to that, I want to talk about another hard thing in academia is that academia is a little bit corrupt in the sense that so much of what is published may not be the quote-unquote truth, and that is for a few reasons. Basically, a lot of researchers keep their jobs and their funding and their praise and glory and everything because they publish. Even professors, their main role is not teaching, it's researching. A lot of the times, not all the times, but a lot of the times. And to do that, you want what's called a positive result. And in the past, typically, only positive results have been published. And positive results mean that, like, when you research something, you find something. And not, like, for example, you do an experiment and you see that X has a statistically significant effect on Y, or they're statistically significantly associated with something that's like there. But if you have a negative result being like, oh, X doesn't actually do anything to Y, or Y and X actually aren't related, that could still very well be important. It could be important because it will encourage future readers to not focus on that, or to be like, huh, this intervention doesn't actually work, or let's not do it, or like, oh, like whatever. It could be important. But negative results don't publish. And so people in the past have been kind of playing around with their data, not necessarily fudging it, but just playing around with it to like try to make a positive result, or sometimes even fudging the data, or doing experiments with really, really bad stats just by looking at everything. So you have to like, so one thing might be slightly positive.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Okay, we're going to publish it. So just like a lot of bad stuff like that. And then also all these tons and tons of studies with negative results are just not getting published. I think in my stats class when I was in second year, it was psych stats. So stats just for psychology majors. My professor showed us this video that really explained it well. I'm going to try to find it. So just like academia is a little bit flawed and it just like discouraging. And then more related to psychology specifically, psychology has something called a replication crisis, which is like psychologists in the world over the past decade or so have been realizing that a lot of the psychological research that is out there cannot be replicated for various reasons, meaning that a lot of what we have studied is just not true. Part of it is for the reasons I just explained. Part of it is for other reasons. I'll put a link in the bio that explains it well. But it's just like, and psychologists in the field of psychology are working to reverse this and to release studies that are with really good, high quality data, even have negative results. And that is a trend that's moving in academia and in psychology in general. So I'm not just like dissing psychology and saying, or academia and saying it's all bad, but it's just, it can be discouraging. And I know that, that I don't want to be like, oh, a system is broken, therefore I don't want to enter into it. Because I think that that mindset, if everyone had it, nothing would become better, because flawed systems would just stay flawed because no one wants to make them different. I just see myself in other areas that the difference can be more apparent. And yeah, this is not psychology and academia and the field that I want to go into all have flaws, but that is not meaning there are bad fields. I love psychology. Psychology will always have a special place in my heart. And I just want to make that abundantly clear. Okay, so continuing on. I just realized that going into psych, it's just not for me. So then, what is for me? And also, I just want to say, before I go into what is for me, a lot of psychology research, some of it doesn't do much. But I did look into some forms of psychology that is more like community based, and the purpose of psychology is for actually like helping people almost immediately, making interventions, real world results. For example, community psych, there was a great community psych PhD program I looked at, and I was like really excited about it for a bit, but then I was like, you can't practice with that kind of psych, so I just got discouraged by that. Okay, so anyway, what is for me? I realized that my interests and life goals actually align much more nicely with the field of social work than of psychology. And this makes sense because social work and psychology are BFFFs. They are very intertwined. And let me just explain more about social work and why it is for me. So also just like next year, I will be doing a gap year program in social work, and I have been accepted into this really wonderful program, but the details as of now are still a bit up in the air, so I will not be going into too much detail right now about it, but I will explain my plans following the gap year now. And like I said before, I know plans may change, I'm only 21, but this is where I'm at right now. So after my gap year, instead of pursuing a master's in psych or a PhD in psych or a doctorate of psychology, or I was actually almost about to do a master's in child study and human development, which I was really excited about because it was really holistic, which is, like I said, the main issue I was experiencing with psych. And the degree would have been very like community-based and applicable to real world. But anyway, I'm not doing that. Which I was almost about to do, but I wanted to pursue, after my gap year, I want to pursue a master's in social work, which is an MSW. And I want an MSW for a few reasons. First, an MSW is very feasible because it will allow me to practice psychotherapy in all US states and all of Canada, and it is still like, there's still maybe issues transferring licenses across countries or across states, but I'm just saying a MSW is, you can practice with an MSW in all states and all provinces versus master's in psych where you cannot practice anywhere in America. So yes, that is that. And there, just because you get a master's in social work doesn't mean you become a social worker. You can still work as a therapist in private practice, hospitals, schools, community agencies, and people with MSWs like often provide the same forms of therapy as those with master's in psych or PsyDs or PhDs in clinical psych. So MSWs are very versatile. And the main difference between an MSW and a psych degree is that MSW training focuses more on systems and advocacy and treating the people within their environments. And that is really what interests me, which is opposed to what psychology degrees focus on, which is more assessment, diagnosis, individual. So I think I would enjoy learning the topics in an MSW more. And an MSW, I think it would prepare me more to, well, not necessarily. Never mind, I'm just going to skip that part. But yeah, so I would like learning more in an MSW than in a psych degree, for an advanced, more advanced psych degree. And so the second reason I want an MSW is because, I wrote this in my notes, but I kind of just said it, was that an MSW, focuses more on the people within their environment and their community, race, class, etc. And psychologists more about the individual. Okay, anyway, I just said that. And we still need clinical psychologists, and they're very, very important and do a lot of good work, but it's just not for me. Anyway, there's another thing about why an MSW is for me versus a psych degree. And that's because an MSW typically is a terminal degree, meaning from undergrad, you apply to an MSW and then just get the MSW, you graduate with an MSW, and then you can either choose to just not do more school, you're a social worker now, or go on to get more, then apply to a PhD program and go on. This is contrasting to a psych degree, like a PhD in psych, because in many U.S. PhD programs, especially in psychology, you apply from undergrad to the PhD program and earn a master's degree along the way. So it is not a terminal master's, because you get your master's and then you're in the program for a PhD. And so if you get a master's from another place, then, and you want to get a PhD in psych, you're going to usually end up getting a master's along the way, like the embedded master's in the PhD program. So that's two master's. And there are there are some places in the US where you can use a previous terminal master's towards your PhD, but that's rare. And in Canada and other countries, it is more common to get a terminal master's before going into a PhD. But that's contrasting to MSW, where you almost always get a terminal MSW before and then get a PhD. So this provides me a lot more flexibility, because during my MSW, I plan to do a research thesis, and then see if I really like research. As of now, based on all the research I've done throughout my undergrad, I do want to go into research, but I'm not 100% certain on it. Just I'm not 100% certain about me wanting to be a psychotherapist for the duration of my career. So I want to use my thesis in my master's to see if I want to go into research. So that is a lot less pressure and time doing an MSW and then deciding to go on to research or just start practicing, versus to get a lot less time and commitment to just apply to a PhD directly for psych. And then that's so many years of researching only to realize you don't like research. And so, yeah, an MSW will give me more time to decide and It's more versatile. And yeah. So, and then I also will be able to practice if I do go on to get a PhD, because I already have my MSW. And that, and plus, I all throughout, if I do get my PhD in social work, I will be researching things that really speak to me, are really holistic, community-based, and I will be able to practice and research and go into underserved communities and do all the stuff that really speaks to me and is meaningful to me, and I will be able to give workshops and continue my podcasting, because podcasting will be a very big part of my career, I hope. So don't worry, Chitty Chats is not going anywhere, and I'll be able to write books too, and just like all this like cool stuff that I'm really, really excited about. So yeah, that's my like what I want to do. And yeah, and then so where does that leave Chitty Chats? That was, well, how long was that? That was almost half an hour of me talking about the future of Rowan. Now, that's the future of Chitty, so where's Chitty Chats? Okay, first I want to give a little bit of history of Chitty Chats. So Chitty Chats, the current like Chitty Chats started in January 2025 this year. But Chitty Chats, as in my podcast, started back in 2023 when it was still called Chaturanga, based on the yoga pose Chaturanga. And it started out being about, first about everything, and then transitioned into more like wellness-y psych theme, but there was only 4 episodes. And so then, yeah, so Chitty, after 4 episodes of inconsistent publishing, Chaturanga went on hiatus and came back as Chitty Chats in January 2025. And at first, it was focused on the fun and accessible integration of psychology into everyday lives. And then I realized a few weeks in, I didn't want it to be about integrating psychology into people's lives, because integrating some of the topics I was talking about with guests sometimes seemed pretty forced, and I didn't want it to be forced. So I just decided to talk about relating things to psych in a more general way, and it just felt more natural that way. But then I also realized sometimes tying people's stories to psych also felt forced. And as I was recording and editing and posting, whatever, I realized that I was more interested in hearing people's stories as opposed to just like forcing everything to be connected to psychology. And I'm still very interested in all these psychological concepts, and I still have a lot of fun connecting people's stories and topics and everyday things to psychology. But in the context of Chitty Chats, it sometimes felt forced. And like I said, I was more interested in just hearing people's stories and work and all that stuff. So I am transitioning Chitty Chats away from psych and more just to telling people's stories more generally, whether it relates to psych or not. So I think this shift in Chitty Chats makes sense given my shift from psychology to social work, because social work is like rooted in understanding people's stories and lived experiences and identities and their surroundings. And I envision Chitty Chats to focus more on that, now, not necessarily people's like biographical stories. It could just be like the work that they do, but the work that they do is still a story. So it's not like analyzing people through a psych lens, but just to honor, amplify their stories. And I'm really, really excited for that development. So, but, something that will still remain the same about Chitty Chats is my dedication to making this podcast accessible to everyone. So I hope I did a good job explaining all this, like, social work stuff. And, yeah. And so, I hope so, as such, because I want to keep the podcast accessible, I continue to try to have fun with my podcast and, you know, just like, yeah, have fun and not be so serious. Even though some of the topics we talk about might be very, very serious, I don't want like the general vibe of this podcast to be super serious. And similarly, I don't want the range, I don't want to limit the amount of get of the not the amount, limit the, these guests to just be professionals or professors or whatever. I want the range of guests to be limitless, and just to hear like so many, like a wide range of stories. Yeah. Yep. And yeah, and so I guess if you guys want to be in my podcast, or you know anyone who might want to be, let me know. I will put, yeah, I think the email, my email is in the, like, the podcast description, not the description of each individual episode, although I probably should put it there. So thank you guys so much for listening to my life goals and my goals for Chatty Chats. And I am changing the intro of Chatty Chats. You'll hear the first one in the next week's episode, but I think the outro will remain the same. I don't think I need to change it. So without further ado, thank you all so much for tuning into Chatty Chats. Thank you for your curiosity, and see you in the next episode.